April Love, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Ray?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for having me.
Get you in here for a very long time. Actually, I was supposed to have you in here last year, but you didn't answer your phone.
Ray, so this is how we're starting? I'm notorious for that, that phone.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really, I set an intention this year to really, I put this crazy voicemail on my phone. They're like, what is that? I said, I check this thing twice a week. So if you would like expeditious feedback, then text me.
Yeah.
If not, email me, you know, because the phone, for a minute, the phone was giving me anxiety. That thing, that thing rings all day long. I'm like, okay. But
yeah. So this week's show, we're putting a little shine on African-American women who are doing amazing things in television, media, film, the arts, that whole thing. And because it is Women's History Month, mm-hmm. we just wanted to, you know, just have some conversations Aww. With a good number of you guys that are doing just amazing things throughout the city of Atlanta. And you are a PR maven. You have done it all.
Come
You've
on,
seen
maven.
It all. You are. You've
it.
Planned it all.
Okay.
And so when did you know that PR is what you wanted to do for
I
the
know?
Rest of your life?
Do I even know now?
Do you know that?
No.
It's still a question?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not something I would per se that I want to do the rest of my life.
Okay.
I think I want to do elements of it. Because even when I take meetings and take on clients now, my whole onboarding is making them know that doing PR with April Love is totally different than other people. I have the base and you know the foundational tenets of doing PR. I get it. It is to bring you publicity, exposure, and that sort of thing. But we have moved into a digital age. We have moved into an age where you can kind of integrate so many things mm-hmm. into publicizing yourself. I don't like to just be stuck in like one way of doing things. I've never been that way. I'm not that way in my life, and I'm definitely not that way in my career. So I'm very selective. That's why I'm actually an entrepreneur in the first place and don't still work within the corporate structure because I want to be very selective about who I work with. So publicity for me was like a natural transition. Even though I, you know, studied marketing and that sort of thing from, you know, college, and then I had internships, and I was able to try my hand at a lot of different things because I really started in entertainment early in the music business, working with Universal and Dallas Austin. And so I had an opportunity to kind of try things out. And I said, you know what? Public relations is exactly what it is, relating to people, and I'm good at that. And I own the fact that that was like a God-given gift for me. So I was like, well, let's make a career out of it, but let's put a twist on it. So I do PR 2.0. And once I was able to kind of like embrace what being a publicist was to me, then I was able to actually, I think, do the best job and realize this is something I could do for the long haul.
Yeah. Now, what project took you from Who Is She to Here She Is?
Can you say that one more time?
What project mm-hmm. took you from Who Is She to Here She Is?
Wow. Let me think of when I was Who Is She. No, I'm just kidding. No, I am going to have to pay homage to the world of reality TV. Even though I'd worked with some amazing artists in music, like I said, the Dallas Austins and the Wu-Tang Clan and Monica. And yeah. I mean, some really stellar talent.
Those are iconic names.
Yeah.
In music.
Yeah, having, you know, and also having not only been in the realm of publicity, but like I said, I've worked in marketing and I've created brand partnerships and I've managed artists like PJ Morton. And, you know, just I'm always looking
Grammy
for that.
Grammy winner.
Grammy winner.
That's right. Yeah.
Member of Maroon 5.
Yeah.
So I've always been like, okay, I'm looking for that amazing talent, that talent that's like, you know, multidimensional, not singular. Oh, I can sing. No, no, no. What else can you do? Because right. then I'm drawn to you. So when this became kind of like, I kind of like compare it to hip hop because they said, you know, that was a trend. That was a fad. Hip hop is going to go away. Same thing with reality TV, unscripted television. Oh, people are going to get tired of that. And, you know, I've worked with reality TV since I'm thinking the onset. You know, I've worked with different projects that I would actually cast for. But I was very immersed in the launch of The Real Housewives. And before it wasn't even called The Real Housewives when I initially kind of jumped on board. So working with the producer and creator, Princess Loftus, who I've worked with throughout the whole decade of Housewives,
right.
as well as with talent early on, doing publicity for Lisa Wu and NeNe Leakes and that sort of thing, not realizing and going on to work with Carlos King, you know, eventually the executive producer of the show. I've worked throughout that franchise, and I think that I became the reality girl. So a lot of people even around that, like I, you know, kind of worked early on with like Derek Blanks. I was the one that was starting the whole celebrity makeup artist, celebrity photographer. I'm trying to tell you, nobody had that in a press release before. Wow. I sent that out. A lot of that Atlanta celebrity this and celebrity that, it was something that I really intentionally set out to do because I felt like the people that I was working with weren't your run-of-the-mill talent, weren't your run-of-the-mill makeup artist or stylist or photographer. If I was representing them, they were celebrities. It was only a matter of time. So yeah. I kind of spoke it into existence. So I think that decade ago, when reality was really getting its, you know, footprint all over, I think that people really started to kind of acknowledge the work that I was doing. Because in music, you work as a team. So it's not, well, I was working as a team. So it was not like April's doing that. It's like, we're doing that. We're behind this. We're the machine on that. But when I started to do other things and create my own projects and, you know, manage and brand manage artists and work on projects like Housewives, people started to say, oh, April Love. Oh, let's call April Love. Oh, she knows the people. She knows this person. She knows that person. So
yeah.
What was the second part of it? I went from who is she to let's get her on the phone to here she is.
Yeah, here she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So by saying that, now we it's all about Ask April Love.
Yes.
And so what's new with that? Because I know that you're always, as you say, moving and creating and moving in new areas. So what's next for Ask April Love?
Okay. Well, Ask April Love, that was an evolution too. Because my thing is I couldn't, like I said, I've never been the person that's kind of like in the box. I've always been an out-of-the-box thinker and out-of-the-box executor. So people would ask me from everything to, you know, with events to branding to color aesthetic, and I'm always educating myself. Once I learn something else, I want to learn something else. Once I learn this, you know, I've taken film courses at NYU. I've, you know, advanced classes, creative circus I attended here. So I was able to really produce the photo shoots and the things and the visions. I don't like to just say, hey, I have a great idea for this particular person. So it was a natural progression for me to go into actually producing the content that I was actually overseeing before. As a publicist, you oversee a lot. You oversee the written materials. You oversee the photos, press photos, how you want your product or your client to be perceived by the media, people like yourself. We want to dictate what you think. We don't want to just throw it out there and you just kind of tell us what you're looking at. I want to write that story. So the natural progression was for me to launch my production company, which I did this past 2018. I was always in production, though. I'd worked with on everybody's award shows.
Yeah.
Like in that space. I mean, God, from Source Awards to back in the day to like Revolt Conference to BET Awards, Soul
movie
Train
premieres.
Awards,
I mean,
movie
yeah,
premieres.
Yeah, yeah.
So production was always kind of like a secondary thing for me anyway. So I'm like, let's get formal with that. You know, so the production thing has really taken off. I'm actually going to be a part of the Stellars coming up. And I have my own event, the Pink Awards that I produce. And it was a huge success this past December. We honored Eric Thomasunas with Swirl. And Catherine Bruton and Ryan and TK, the guys over at the Gathering Spot. And it was amazing. So I really enjoyed that, taking something from ideation to actually getting support for it, handling all logistics, PR marketing plan, and then launch, and then actually producing a show. It was amazing. And that's the Ask April Love 2019 and beyond, you know?
Yeah.
I have a team of young publicists and strategists that I'm working with. So I bring in new business all the time because I still work. I mean, publicity is my thing. So I have two artists that I'm really excited about because I'm always going to work in music. And I feel like I'm blessed to be able to marry the worlds that I love of entertainment, publicity, and production. And I'm working with an artist on Atlantic Records. Her name is Raish.
Okay.
And I'm working with another artist that I found myself, Grassroots. Her name is Jazz, J-A-S. And they both have released projects. So we're in the midst of promoting them. And I have a lot of things lined up that I'm looking forward to taking them out this summer and introducing them to the world.
Yeah. Now, there was a time when you were dealing with a health situation. Mm-hmm. You had breast cancer.
Yes.
And how did you sort of balance the demand of having to take care of yourself along with the demand of having to be April Love? Because that's I mean, you know, media, I always tell people it's 24 hours a day, it's 7 days a week, it never stops. Mm-hmm. So how were you able to find a balance in taking care of April Love and while being April Love, if that makes sense?
Well, I had to have a come to Jesus moment, seriously, because not taking care of April Love is how I ended up with the diagnosis anyway. And then it was advanced stages. It was stage 3, ductal carcinoma, estrogen receptor positive, because people need to know the source of their illnesses. Don't, you know, like you have a bad plan, or you have a bad, you know, bad fruit coming out of a tree, you just cut off the bad fruit and you don't never fix the tree.
Right.
So like I needed to know that my cancer was hormonal, you know, so I was able to slow down and have a, you know, like I said, a one-on-one with April and say, hey, what are we doing? How do we get here? You know, you're at a great place in your career. Everything else is going amazing. And then you have this on December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2009. They say you have cancer, girl. So I think the balance started in 2010. I don't think I was balanced before then. I was just, you know, what everybody else is. I was about my hustle, sleep when you die. I was about to be dead. But no, you know, but I wanted to really take over the world. But what I had to understand was that it wasn't necessary to do it that way and not take care of me. Because what are you creating a legacy and all of these amazing things for if you're not going to have the quality of life to enjoy them and not the long life
right.
to enjoy them? So I had a whole new perspective coming into 2010. It was not something that I would wish on anyone, but we all have our pivot moments. I talk about that on my podcast. Be it a divorce, be it an illness, be it, you know, relocating, losing your job, whatever it is, whatever your thing is, sometimes you need to kind of get clear about your purpose and who you are and your destiny prior to having to have those kind of like train wrecks come about in your life. But it taught me balance, and out of that is birthed my coaching. I ended up going to a school while I was going through my cancer. There I go again, going back to school, but the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York. And I was able to take classes and really study and dissect what was going on in my body and learn more about other chronic illnesses and mind, body, and soul. Mind, body, spirit. That's what I realize that I'm here to do. Yes, I'm here to have my career, but I'm not supposed to operate like the average person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm still intentional about clients. My it has to agree with my spirit. You know, I have to, kind of see where that person wants. What, even with an artist, like the artist I mentioned, I want to know, how do you want to change the world? You know, before I represent you, I don't want it to be cookie cutter. You know, we talk about, do you want to address mental illness? Do you want to talk about domestic abuse? Do you want to change the world? Then we can work together. It's all good. And can we do it through song? Absolutely. So also my group coaching was birthed out of that, which launches this year, where I take the people on the journey without having a diagnosis to living the life that you were born to live and living on purpose, because a lot of people are waiting for everybody to come into position with what they're called to do. And the pink stuff, my pink movement came out of that. I had my first pink in December when I was preparing for radiation. And that has transitioned into what is the Pink Awards today.
Yeah, let's talk about Atlanta's changing scene, because again, you've been doing this for almost 20 years. So where do you where do you see Atlanta going in this? Because we're about to end a decade, so we're about to start a new decade with 2020. Where do you see Atlanta going with the whole arts TV?
Can you
film
believe it's 2020?
Yeah, I know, right? We're supposed to be flying in the air like the Jetsons, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we kind of are, you know, with all these radio waves and technology, going cray cray. But 2020, wow. I forever love Atlanta. I just love how people say that. I love how they've embraced the city. I've watched the city grow. I've been a part of a lot of the growth in the city. And I mean, and it's exciting to see how the world is being influenced by Atlanta, you know, in film and television and politics. I think it's divinely ordered that so many amazing culture creators, shout out to Joy Brown for that moniker, because a lot of them live here. A lot of them have relocated. Of course, you know, we have the Parises and we have the Londons and we have the New York and we have the LA. We have these amazing cities that are doing a lot, but Atlanta has its own thing. Atlanta has its own kind of like little funk to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And seeing that people like what Ryan Glover and those guys did with Bounce TV, and how Eric, you know, had the vision to come here to do Swirl. And then you have so many people like Marvel and these people that are, you know, that see that this is an amazing landscape for the future of film and television. You know, the mayor's office supporting, you know, the young creators and people that are creating content. And outside of that, we still have so much else, you know, the sports. And it's just a hotbed for people to come and really, really find their purpose and live on purpose. I think it's an amazing city to start your career. And it's an amazing city for a lifetime. If you want to grow here, have your family here. I just think this is an ideal case study for a great city.
Yeah.
Other than the traffic.
Yeah, right.
We got to work on that. Yeah. But yeah.
What advice would you give to the April loves that are going to come behind you?
Oh, my April loves. Yeah. And I do have mentees. I have nieces. I have interns. I keep interns, you know, and it's so amazing. The people that have come through, I say my process, the April Love process, like Whitney Benta was my assistant, and now she's an SVP, you know, for Spotify, having worked at MTV and Revolt and Def Jam, seeing her career, and then Keith Wooten, who worked with me, and he attended Clark Atlanta, and now he's in programming, for BET, and the list goes on. You know, I have people everywhere, and I'm able to connect with them, but the people that actually want to kind of come into the vein of what I'm doing and be that next little group of April loves.
That here she is.
Yeah. Then I want them to be bold. I want them to be spiritual. I want them to be authentic. I want them to be true to themselves. I want them to seek help when they need it. I don't think that they are superwomen. I'm not a super fan of the superwoman complex, because I mean, I love and respect the role that men play in our lives. I love and respect the role that families and friends play. I mean, I couldn't do any of this without my team. Mm. You know, big shout to my girls in the office, LaShonda and Taylor and Tone and the people I work with day to day, and Jared. I mean, they keep me lifted. You know, we pray. Like, I don't know about anybody else's company, but a company that prays together, we stay together. And that's why I think we've grown, because we identify, you know, what's important. And I want these girls to not get so excited about putting their little shingle out and saying, I'm this PR Inc. No, you know, kind of really identify why you want to do this business. Mm-hmm. Talk to someone who's doing it. Get some feedback. Make sure you're ready. Make sure that you study the business. You learn your craft before you start, you know, soliciting for business on Instagram. I just want these girls to be smart, to be bold. The future is female. I believe it. And the time is now, but you got to do it right.
Yeah. You're listening to the voice of PR maven April Love. This is Women's History Month, and I just wanted to ask you, what woman inspired you? Who really got behind you and just really inspired you coming into this business and doing what you're doing?
Oh my God, I don't even know where to start. And I'm going to be brutally honest too.
Okay.
There were a lot of women who were not super supportive coming in.
Wow.
You know, entertainment. I say even executive women in general, there are some that are so awesome and so pleasant and are so willing to support, you know, the transition of new people coming into their industry. And then there's some that are not. And I really had a lot of support from men, to be quite honest. My mentors early on were men, like Bob Celestin, you know, attorneys like Jonathan Leonard. But I had some great women, you know, that I was able to emulate and see how they were doing. I love Shanti Das. I talk about how she was really wrecking shop in the industry, what the girls were doing. Because when I was working with Dallas, I was looking at the girls and being in and out of the office with the ladies at The Face. Mm-hmm. So Dolly Turner and Shanti and Sherry were amazing. You know, they were really doing the work, and I was emulating them. You know, I was like, this is what I want to do. I know without a doubt this is, you know, the path for me. And then I was able to meet people along the way. Tasha Whitten Griggs to this day is a mentor for me. She is an amazing woman. Like, she goes above and beyond. She's the, you know, executive and publicity over at TV1, but she has been doing her thing. That's who I worked with BET. And then Lynn Jeter and Pat Tobin and Patty Webster, who have gone on, but the imprint that they left on me when I've interacted and worked with them over the course of my career has been life-changing. I met Terry Williams, actually, when I was studying postgrad at Georgia State. I was able to bring Terry as a speaker, and we talked throughout the year that I brought her, and she probably has no idea how impactful she was to me. So I would say there have been tidbits and little moments where people have really, like, poured into me and allowed me to glean from them and throughout my career. So for that, I'm forever grateful.
Yeah. Well, April Love, thank you for being a guest today on Upfront. And I just wanted to personally say how much I appreciate you helping me when I started my brand several years ago, and just always being a face that if April Love is not there, it's like, okay, what are we doing? or is this the right event to be, you know, because if you're there, then I know that it's, you know, it's
so
a real
much.
Event. It's a real event, you know, so I appreciate your support. And again, much success to you in 2019.
Thank you. Much success to you. And thank you again for having me.
No problem.